Why do we get new phones every couple of years? Blame Apple. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. Apple is known for beautiful, expensive products that get replaced pretty often, either for status or because the battery is dying. When longtime designer Johnny Ive left Apple last month to form his own design company, lots of people looked back at his time at Apple and his influence on creating products that were hard to repair, prioritized thinness and beauty over sometimes reliability, and whether, as Apple gears up to announce new iPhones this fall, that might actually change now that Ive is gone. Kyle Weens is the founder of the electronics repair site iFixit. He wrote a blog post about Ive's mixed legacy at Apple, especially when it comes to the environment. And he said sometimes simple isn't better.
It's this idea that it should be so simple to use that you shouldn't have to worry about how it works or what's under the hood. They decided intentionally that they were going to hide the complexity of the battery from us. But what that did as a side effect was it limited the lifespan. It made these things last shorter. And so then when the new, you know, sexy or new features comes out next year, you're like, yeah, my old one doesn't work as well. I'm going to get a new one.
How much did these design choices influence the rest of the tech world? Like, phones used to have swappable batteries until the iPhone came along. And Apple really, you could argue, drove the rest of the industry into this sort of more throwaway tech.
Absolutely, they drove the rest of the industry. This idea that it was acceptable that you could get away with, say, integrating the hard drive onto the main motherboard, where if you want to separate the computer from the data, there's no way to do it. That's the kind of thing that most other companies would have said, no, that's a red line we won't cross. Apple crosses that line and then everyone else follows.
You've also written recently about how Johnny Ive's design is based on the style of German industrial designer Dieter Rams. And a principle, like a really important principle of Dieter Rams' design, was sustainability, environmental sustainability. And you talk about how Johnny Ive is leaving Apple without having reconciled really a big gap there. Why do you think that that shift happened and really hasn't been addressed?
Right. So out of Dieter Rams' design principles, there's design is sustainable and design is long lasting. And I think those things get coupled together. When you do something like gluing in a battery that artificially limits the life of the entire device to the life of its shortest component, you're getting us on this consumer treadmill where we just have to go out and buy more things. And the environmental impact of manufacturing these things is significant. You know, it's over 200 pounds of raw material to make an iPhone. But the fundamental product architecture of saying as thin as possible and damn the consequences really is a challenge. So what we've seen is Apple's environmental team, who is very good, have done everything they can to make the product sustainable, except change the design. That has been driven by Johnny Ive and his team. And there have been a number of very specific decisions that they have made that have limited the lifespan of these devices, I think probably to the chagrin of Apple's environment team, who then has to sort of put it in the best possible light.
How much of it is on us, the consumer? I mean, we have certainly bought them. All this time, we've complained about them, you know, oh, you got rid of the headphone jack. Oh, I can't swap my battery out. This is so annoying. And yet we do keep buying them.
Absolutely. And this is a challenge that we have as a culture is when you have something where there's multiple variables that you have to choose from. You want, you know, the best audio player, but you also would like something that will last a long time because it doesn't have stamped on the box. Hey, this thing lasts 18 months. I think we tend to forget it and we put it out of our minds. We're not very good psychologically at making long-term decisions. And then later we tend to justify it. We say, oh, well, you know, it's not running as long as it used to, but, you know, there's a new one that came out. So I think that is they've been able to take advantage of a psychology that, yes, we bear some responsibility, but I think, you know, the lack of disclosure, if they said, hey, if a single key on this computer breaks, it's going to be over $1,000 repair, that might change people's mind when they're purchasing things up front. But people don't have that information.
And how do you think that mentality, that psychology is starting to change sort of like as you get to the point where you're feeling like, huh, I'm about to buy my fifth iPhone. this one seems fine except the battery, for example. And then, of course, there was the scandal about it. Do you think that there, as these devices get longer in the tooth, there's more awareness that they don't last as long as maybe they should or could?
I think so. We're starting to see people wanting to push their devices longer. Part of that is you know, the improvement in smartphones is not as great every year as it used to be. So as that's plateauing, we don't need to get new phones all that frequently. But the batteries don't last any longer than they used to. So all of a sudden, if we're going to keep our phones twice as long as we did 3-4 years ago, we're going to have to be replacing the battery. And at that point, making those batteries available is going to be an important competitive differentiator. And that's where you have companies like Motorola that have come out and said, we're going to sell service parts for our phones. We're going to make them available both to repair shops and to consumers. There's a crack that Apple has left in the market that perhaps Motorola will exploit.
So we could start circling back around to the beginning where we have phones with swappable batteries and maybe SD card slots.
And so this is something really funny people always ask, because we take these things apart. I take apart every iPhone. There is room inside the iPhone for an SD card slot. There's room for a SIM card. There's room for an SD card. They could absolutely put that in there. The only reason that you can't upgrade the memory on the iPhone is because they want to charge you an extra $100 or $200 for the extra storage.
Kyle Weens is the founder of the electronics repair site iFixit. And now for some related links. Lots of words have been written about Apple and whether it still has its legendary mojo and what will happen now that Johnny Ive is gone. But I thought Jonathan Trugman in the New York Post put it really well a week or so ago. He said Apple needs to figure out how to keep creating things that we didn't even know we needed. We, of course, also have a link to Kyle Weens' piece on our website, marketplacetech.org. And obviously, it isn't only design that's made Apple products, especially the iPhone, more likely to get replaced than repaired. It's also the fact that a new device gets introduced every year, always, at least in theory, with some must-have set of features that means the old one is now useless or at best unwanted. And then new features in its operating system aren't always available for older phones. Like in the upcoming iOS 13, there's a software fix to keep your battery from overcharging, which should prevent your battery from getting old and not holding a charge so quickly after you buy a new phone, except that iOS 13 will only be available on newer iPhone models. But it does seem like consumers increasingly want off the hamster wheel. Research firm Gartner forecasted last week that smartphone shipments will have their, quote, worst ever decline in 2019. The tech innovations just aren't doing it anymore. The cost keeps going up. And maybe there is some residual guilt creeping in about all those gadgets headed for the landfill. Gartner said manufacturers might override that guilt around 2020 when they all start pushing 5G phones as a real reason to upgrade. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.